Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hi, I'm Sabine.
And I'm Adam. Welcome to the 48th episode of Robots. In today's episode, we speak about chaos control and synchronization. Our first guest, Poromat Manunpong, was a research associate at the Bernstein Center for Computational Neuroscience in Göttingen, Germany, where he studied ways to make an insect-like robot get out of tricky situations by generating chaotic input to a central pattern generator in charge of the robot's gait.
We then speak with Alex Pitti from the University of Tokyo, who speaks about chaos controllers that can synchronize to the dynamics of the body they are controlling, thus creating more complex behaviors, while at the same time simplifying the controller. But first, let's hear the latest news in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Sabine. French service robotics company Robosoft has developed a new robot to assist elderly and disabled persons. The Compi robot can move autonomously around the house and return to its charging station using its wielded base, and can take commands via a touchscreen or voice recognition interface. A first demonstration shows a man talking to the robot, telling it to remind him of a meeting, add items to a shopping list, or play music. Using an integrated camera, screen, and internet connection, the robot also acts as a video conferencing system. The first version of Compi is intended for developers who want to implement their own robotics applications for assistance of dependent persons. The company is currently working on extending the robot's functionalities to include visual object and gesture recognition, as well as adding a robot arm to perform more practical functions. Some of you may remember our episode on the highly advanced underwater vehicles of Massachusetts Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution at the beginning of this year. One of Woods Hole's most emblematic vehicles, the autonomous Benthic Explorer, or Abe, has now just gone missing in action. During its 222nd dive, Abe went out to further investigate evidence of hydrothermal vents off the coast of Chile when contact was lost and all attempts to relocate the vehicle failed. Abe was one of the first successful unmanned, free-swimming submersible vehicles and came to fame by heralding a new era of autonomous underwater vehicles upon its launch in 1995. It was also named one of the top 50 robots of all time by Wired magazine in 2006. Engineers at the University of Utah in the U.S. have developed a computer-controlled hand and arm support. The device consists of a motorized elbow and handrest equipped with a force sensor and allows users to precisely control movement in the horizontal plane by exerting more or less pressure on the handrest. The idea for the automated handrest was inspired by a device used by famous inventor Leonardo da Vinci, who painted using a simple handrest made out of a stick with cloth balls on each end. First studies have shown that it allows more precise control of tools than other support devices and reduces fatigue. The engineers believe that the active handrest could benefit surgeons, artists, workers performing pick-and-place tasks, or anyone requiring precise control of tools. For more information on the new French Compi robot, the loss of Abe off the coast of Chile, and the new hand and arm support, visit our forum at www.robotspodcast.com/forum.
Poromat Manunpong is a Thai researcher who works at the Bernstein Center for Computational Neuroscience, University of Göttingen, Germany. We called him up in Kyoto, Japan, where he is currently doing a postdoc. What caught our attention was an article he recently published in Nature Physics on self-organized adaptation of a simple neural circuit enables complex robot behavior. He'll be telling us about these complex robot behaviors driven by chaos and CPGs and their possible significance for biology.
Hi, Puramet. Welcome to Robots.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, sure. My name is Puramet Manunpong. I am a Thai researcher at Bench Thai Center for Computational Neuron Psi at the Faculty of Physics at University of Göttingen in Germany.
In today's interview, I would like to discuss your recent article in Nature Physics. What was this article about?
Yeah, sure. This article is we present simple neural chaos control with an online learning mechanism that can generate complex behavior in a complex robot system like walking machine.
Can you describe your robot hardware to us? So what does it look like? What are its sensors and actuators?
Yeah, sure. This robot is inspired by a cockroach. It is a six-leg robot. We call it as AMOS. It stands for Advanced Mobility Sensor-Driven Walking Device. And it has six legs, and each leg has 3 degrees of freedom. And the robot is driven by the standard servo motors. It has in total 19 motors. And for the sensors, it has all in all 20 sensors, like foot contact sensors, inclinometer sensors, infrared sensors, current sensors, auditory sensors, light sensors. And we use a PDA as a mobile processor to control the robot.
So lots of sensors, lots of actuators. Why is it difficult with conventional sensory motor control to control such robots?
Yes. So the difficult of this thing is that we have to think about the combinatorial problem that we have to solve it. Simply speaking is that here we have to combine information from the many sensors and then provide in a real time to coordinate to the outputs to many motors in order to generate a variety of the behaviors, including learning in not only the reactive way, but also adaptive way, which means that the robot need to also learn to find appropriate walking patterns to deal with different situations.
So concretely, let's look at this cockroach robot. What is your approach to controlling this robot?
So actually, the approach of controlling robot is, for my long-term goal is that we would like to be able to control the this kind of artificial system in the way that they can perform as a living creatures. And another aspect is that I want to understand also how the brain-like mechanism, including the biomechanics of the machine, can be realized and to have the functionality approach to living creature as much as possible.
I know you used CPGs in this particular robot. Maybe you can explain what a CPG is.
Yes, sure. The CPG is actually stand for the Central Pattern Generators, which are a group of the neurons that can generate rhythmic motor patterns without the sensory feedback. And it is known that CPG control the periodic movement in living systems like walking and breathing in human and animals.
And how do you control these CPGs? How does chaos control fit in here?
Yes. We just try to take this kind of CPG principle and implement on our robot, which means that in this chaos control, it's performed as a CPG to generate the patterns for the robot. And this controller, without the control, if we don't give any input to the system, this CPG generate like a chaotic patterns. But when we give the input to this chaos, it gives you a lot of different stable periodic patterns where we use these different periodic patterns to different gates of the machine. And for example, we use a low frequency periodic pattern for slow wave gate to let the machine walk slowly. And we can use the high-frequency periodic pattern for the fast wave gate, for example. And also, in the case of chaotic pattern, we use this chaotic pattern to let the machine free its leg when the leg is get trapped in the hole. And that's why chaotics seem to be useful for this case.
Could you give a visual description of the behavior of the robot with this chaotic control? Try to describe it.
Okay. For example, if this robot is driven by the chaotic, its leg will move like omnidirectional movement. Like the leg might move forward, backward, left, right, up and down in unpredictable way. And because all the leg will move at the same time, first of all, the robot will most basically stand still. And then it try to search to get to leave it to find a foothold when the leg is trapped in the hole. And as soon as it found the foothold again, then the chaotic pattern will be switched by the foot contact sensor to back to the normal walking patterns again.
So here the chaos control can help it get out of a place where it's stuck, basically.
Of the hole, yes. This is why. But because if you look into the chaotic system, it actually consists of a lot of unstable periodic orbits. And if you just use very small force, some perturbation to this system, it can jump from this chaotic to some stable period. And therefore, we use the sensor system to drive the system to jump from chaotic to some low frequency period or high frequency period. And we map this frequency to from low frequency to the slow walking patterns, high frequency for tripod gait or fast walking pattern, for example.
So what type of feedback do the robots get? I mean, in terms of reward, or to know to transition from the chaotic state to the more general.
We just use the sensor to drive the system. Like, for example, if there's nothing happen, it just walk with the pre-program with one pattern, one gait. But if something wrong, like its foot is trapped into a hole, we use a foot contact sensor to say that now the chaotic needs to move from the stable period back to the chaotic system to let it search, to do some random search process. And if the foot is touched ground again, then the foot contact sensor will say the chaotic control that now the system is okay. Then you just move back to the stable patterns.
And did you try without the chaotic control to see if it would, if the chaotic control is really needed in these situations?
Yes, we test, for example, in this case, we use this example, like we let the robot move without chaos control, just normal CPG. And when its leg is trapped into a hole, it cannot get out of the hole because the leg try to move forwards. And then it doesn't just try to do some search for the foothold. And after a long run, and then it just break the one of the joint. And yeah, that's why chaos seems to be useful for this case.
That makes me think, you know, when cockroaches fall on their back and they start moving very randomly, is that a sort of panic mode or chaotic control?
I'm not sure in this case, but I would say that it might be that it seems to be irregular movement or chaotic movement somehow, because what it tried to do is that it tried to search to find to find the foothold or to flip its body. It's just very similar, because actually this idea came from, I was thinking that when I cannot swim, someone just throw me into the water. I just try to swing my hand randomly, try to in order to survive. And this can be a kind of the random process or irregular patterns which occur in the living system, just instinct.
So when I think of chaotic, I think the robot's going to do something random and just fall. Why doesn't that happen?
Yes, because for chaotic, you just think like it's irregular patterns, and which means that the robot, when we put the signal as a chaotic to the leg of the robot, it just start to do some kind of the random process, like moving forward, backward, left, right, and which unpredictable way. And this is how the chaotic pattern is look like.
Okay, so using this control method, what types of behaviors can your robot finally display?
Well, this robot can perform at least 11 basic patterns like orienting, tactics, self-protection, self-entrapping, and different types of walking gaits, which is similar to a cockroach.
And you introduced learning into your control system. Why is there a need for learning?
Yes, of course. If we talk about learning, in some time, if you are robotic designers, most of the case you just try to do pre-programming for the robot. And sometimes it is difficult to try to pre-program to find the best behavior or appropriate walking pattern for unforeseen situation. And this might lead to the inefficient outcome. And in worst case, maybe the robot might fail to deal with that situation. And therefore, that's why learning is important, because the learning will allow the robot to adapt and also to improve its behavior into the new situation through its own experience. And that's why what we here mean by self-organizing.
And how is learning implemented?
So, well, in this case, we use a kind of a standard error minimization learning mechanism to change the synaptic structure of the controller or the neuron system, such that if there's the error occur, the learning start to adjust the synapse between sensory side and the motor side to find appropriate coordination. And the next time this situation occur again, the robot or the sensory side is already mapped to the correct motor output response, which lead to the appropriate motion to the robot.
So the learning is applied to the CPG, basically, to the connections of the CPG.
Exactly.
And concretely, how does learning affect the behavior of the robot? If you take your cockroach robot, can you visually describe what would happen?
Sure. I could give you one example, which we have presented in this Nature Physics. So actually, in this case, we let the robot learn to find the so-called energy-saving gait during walking up a slope. So that's which means that in this case, we use inclinometer sensors to let the robot detect a slope, and we use the current sensor to let the robot detect the energy consumption. And then if this energy consumption is higher than normal walking on the flat terrain, which means that there's the error occur, then the robot needs to search for the right patterns to reduce the energy consumption. Like during walking up a slope, the energy consumption getting high, it start to search for the appropriate gait. And if it found the gait which reduce the energy consumption, then it will memorize this gait to the synaptic plasticity. And for the next time, when it's encountered to this slope again, then it will immediately choose the correct gates, because it's already learned to associate the gate with the slope.
You mentioned animals in your paper. Can your research be useful for biology?
Yes, so this is a very interesting question. Actually, if we look into small insects, it is known that only a few, or maybe say 100 neurons, are available for such a small insect. But it's still unclear how this could generate a variety of patterns. And therefore, I think in principle, our approach here might create a possible option to biological system like a cockroach to show that maybe a cockroach could achieve the worst variety of the behavior, which is maybe just use the same circuit setting like what we present as a simple circuit with some kind of adaptive learning rule, which has been done on the robot.
Actually, that makes me think of something. We spoke with Bob Full, who was saying that cockroaches might use more of an open loop system, so more reactive. How do you think this is different?
Actually, yes. And in general, a cockroach is because the cockroach move very fast, and therefore it just basically rely on the center pattern generators, because if it take the sensory feedback, it is too slow to let it move fast. But in some situation, like it need to deal with some different terrains, then the process need to slow it down. And in this case, the sensory feedback will play an important role for adaptivity. And this is what I think the cockroach needs some kind of, I mean, after its approach to some difficult situation, it needs to slow the process down, and then the learning will take part of that, to let it learn to adapt to that situation. And the next time, when you see this situation again in the long distance, by maybe it uses antenna to detect the terrain, then it can just immediately adapt and then just rely on its open loop system again.
And now a word on the future. What will you see as future directions for this research?
For this research futures, we are thinking about implementing even more complex behavior like memory-based planning, including also goal-directed navigation toward a true autonomous intelligence system in the complex environments. Yes, this is what we try to do.
Thank you, Puramate, for being here with us on Robots.
Yes, great to talk to you and have a nice day.
Alex Pitti is a researcher at the Intelligent Systems and Informatics Lab at University of Tokyo in Japan. Pitti's recent work has focused on the interaction between an oscillating controller and the morphology and dynamics of the body it is controlling. He'll be telling us about how we can create controllers that can synchronize to the material properties of the bodies to create much more dynamic motions while at the same time reducing the complexity of the controller.
Hi, Alex. Welcome to Robots.
Hi. Hello.
Can you quickly tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm French researcher. After my master thesis, I came to Japan in Kuniyoshi's lab in robotics to study about nonlinear dynamics, how to connect more biologically inspired methodologies to robotics. So now I'm postdoc in a project called ERATO, led by Professor Asada, which tried to, to study how infant cognitive development emerge during life. So all aspects of cognitive development, motion generation, action understanding, action representation, and because the infants are really highly dynamical system, they are in fact the most complex system, learning system in the world. We think that complex system or nonlinear dynamics can have some insight to model, cognitive aspects, but also motion generation in robots, in fact.
Tell us a little bit, maybe quickly, about nonlinear dynamics, what you mean by this and how this is, a much bigger challenge than kind of traditional linear motor control, for example.
So, in fact, in motor control, we try to every time understanding how one thing interacts with another. In complex system or with nonlinear dynamical system, we try to understand how many parts can interact dynamically, but also that can change their coordination, their cooperation between the different parts to make a new behavior. Maybe the best example is water. Water has a lot of molecules, but there is few parameters, pressure, volume, temperature, which are global parameters that can change, in fact, the coordination of all the molecules to make a different patterns, in fact, ice or steam or water, liquid water. So the same idea, in fact, can be used for the coordination of motion in robots. Or if we want to check at a higher, at the neural dynamics, for example, there's a lot of coordination in the neural dynamics. Or if you want to see people with people interaction, how different people can interact. So checking nonlinear dynamics can permit to understand cognitive aspects of human cognition, and we can perhaps implement it in a robot.
In your more recent paper, you speak not only about coordination between different, say, actuators in a system, but also the interaction between the body dynamics of a platform, I guess a robotic platform or a biological being, and these controllers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in more classical robotics, there is the controller in one part and the robot in the other part. But in fact, the controller and in more biological system, a controller and the morphology can in fact shape the controller in such a way that there is a kind of functional integration between the two, the morphology and the controller, so that it's possible to make a much higher dynamical motion. The more a controller can exploit its dynamic, the morphology of the leg, for example, the more it's possible to do much more dynamical motion like jumping or stabilization. So the idea is to have a controller that has a lot of dynamics, like a chaotic controller, which can somehow synchronize to the material property of the leg, to the elasticity, to the morphology, so the geometry of the leg, the physics of the leg, to extract this information online and to exploit it dynamically.
What kind of mechanisms do you use to control such a system, to try to get the information from the physical information from the body and try to control it in a more dynamic way?
I try to use a quite known mechanism in physics called phase synchronization, which try in fact to synchronize, to match one rhythm. So the controller can match one rhythm from any input, in fact. So it can match this frequency, and by matching this frequency, it can control back the physics of the body. So by perturbing the body dynamics and by matching after the phase of a certain part, for example, the leg, it's possible to match the physics of the leg, but also the other leg also. The two legs can synchronize each other with the two controllers such that the two can work in phase. And by doing so, it's possible to create a certain rhythm, in fact, and to exploit this rhythm for walking or for other kind of dynamics, like jumping. So in the biological organism, it has been found a lot of this synchronization has been found also with the motor synergy. Bidzi, for example, a well-known biologist, found motor synergy in the spinal cord that synchronized a lot of muscles, in fact. And through synchronization of these muscles, it's possible to get different type of behavior like running or walking or just extension of the arm. So just by using few rhythms, it's possible to get, to exploit the property of the body to control a lot of parts with few information, in fact. So the idea is not to make something more complex, but to reduce the complexity, to control a world system with a lot of degrees of freedom by synchronization, in fact. Somehow it's a kind of language between the different controllers, which can synchronize and coordinate and make one motion quite fluent, in fact.
You recently used this type of synchronization control to actuate a complex leg system based on nonlinear air-type muscles. Can you tell us how this applies to such a robotic system?
Well, I did a lot of computer simulation with really high degrees of freedom and low degrees of freedom, but I wanted to understand how this can be applied to a robotic system. So we try to, one problem with a robotic system with electrical motor is that it's not possible to exploit easily the body dynamics. So if you use some chaotic system, they cannot exploit it quite nicely. So the idea was to use some pneumatic actuators called Makiden actuators, which are some elastic muscle, which have you can in fact change the tension, the pressure inside this artificial muscle, so you can control the pressure, and so somehow it's kind of like biological muscle. You can change the pressure and the tension, and you can make really nice motion. So the idea was to control a robot, a leg in fact, it's a few degrees of freedom, that we try to control a leg. How is it possible that a chaotic system can control such kind of articulation quite easily? So it's a 2-3 degrees of freedom system, but we can control, in fact, tension of the leg and also jumping and also quite stable hopping, in fact. So through coordination, by exploiting the elasticity of the muscle, the morphology of the leg, is the leg has some symmetries, some stale angle, which can be grasped dynamically by the chaotic controller, it's possible to control it quite easily. So the idea is now to go to a higher level, in fact, with a more complex robotic system and have a huge, a highly a robot with a lot of degrees of freedom can be controlled, in fact.
And what would you say then would be the main advantages of using chaotic control and this synchronization technique to control a robot over more traditional robotic approaches?
One thing is these chaotic systems can work sometimes autonomously, locally, for a specific part, and when they synchronize, they work globally, in fact. So the idea is perhaps that one time it's possible to do a lot of motion, a lot of movement, like water, like my example of water, they were different states, different patterns. Maybe it's possible to change also with the chaotic system the different kind of patterns, like walking, running, or just standing in equilibrium. So the idea is to decrease the complexity of the body of a complex robot to few degrees of freedom, to control the global parameters, like for the water, its pressure, temperature, volume. So the control for the robot, for the chaotic controller, it will be the synchronization parameter. So finding the 4 or 5 parameters which can synchronize the specific parts that we want, the legs, for example, or the upper part, and synchronizing correctly these different parts may permit to reduce the whole complexity of a robot, in fact.
Maybe as a last question, how does this research close the loop with biology? Does by building these types of robots with chaotic control, are you learning more about how biological systems work?
Yeah, this is the main aim, in fact, to share information with biology, to understand really how biological systems work, to provide also to get some information from how humans work and run, for example, and to use it for making more adaptive robots. So, for example, one interesting information is that there is very few motor synergies that control human motion. There is less than 10, in fact. So how less than 10 patterns can control the worm motion is quite interesting for walking, for example. So we don't know yet how to do it, but if we can understand in a robot, we can also provide a new mathematics, new way to understand the human motion to biologists.
Well, thank you very much, Alex, and all the best in your future research.
Thank you very much.
And that's all we have for today's episode of Robots. For more information on our guests and the discussion of today's show, have a look at our website at www.robotspodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. Hope to see you in 2 weeks.
Chaotic with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.